Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening into the Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. As for us, we are doing just fine. Today, ladies and gentlemen, especially those of us that are small business owners, or people that are trying to work on their marketing or their brand, we've got a gentleman that is we'll call him a guru in the area of marketing and, of course, branding. He's someone that's very dedicated not only to what he does, but to his clients and customers. And he gives it his all the time. Again, today our special guest is Mr. Bob Graham. And Bob is the CEO of Bigger Pie Strategies. And, of course, he works with marketing. He has a marketing company and actually works with small businesses and other organizations to help them better their marketing, improve their brand, and also to get their message across. Bob is got a past history of being a experienced writer, editor, public relations expert, and, of course, a marketing expert. And he has developed and managed successful marketing and branding campaigns that connect companies and organizations with their ideal clients by focusing on the ideal clients and to, of course, help people to get what they want and to also help them to streamline and get their message across. He also does this as a very cost-effective and efficient price manner and his way of doing things and spinning everybody up on the present technology and also preparing them for the future is, again, without saying, phenomenal. Again, he is truly an awesome and individual person, and I've had the pleasure to speak with him and meet with him on several occasions, and each time it's been a treat. So with that said, Bob, how are you doing today?
Hey, Z, I'm doing really well. After that introduction, it's hard not to be feeling really good about myself, and at least a third of it was true. No, it was all true. You got it all right. I'm just being a funny guy. I do want to clarify one thing. In addition to being a writer and an editor, I've also taught English courses and journalism courses at a number of community colleges and colleges. And that actually colors what I do with my clients because I have that ability to teach, which really seems to help me when I'm helping companies figure out what their brand is.
That's awesome. Plus that I know that a lot of us may be great business people, but a lot of us are really not that great at writing, especially expressing it in a way that people will understand. So that definitely adds to the plethora of talents that you already have.
Yes, well, thank you. It's funny. You talk about the talents that we have, and I wanna clarify one thing really at the beginning, or explain one thing at the beginning, and that is that most people believe that they should be really good at marketing just because it's part of running a business, or we all have the brand of me, and we're supposed to be experts on the brand of me. But the reality is most of us are not really good at marketing. I'm really lucky. I'm good at marketing. I could not shine shoes very well. Maybe I could learn it. I'm certainly not a golf pro, and I could never be a caterer. But I have clients who do those things, and the partnership between my client who can do what they're really good at and what I do to help them through my marketing is really a win-win situation. And I think that's one of the ways I want to make sure people sort of look at marketing, that the fact that someone's not good at marketing doesn't mean that they're a failure as a business owner. It's I often think it's like how people react to marriage counseling. The minute you announce that you have to go to a marriage counselor, and I should say I've been to a marriage counselor, so I know about this. The minute you tell people you've been to a marriage counselor, they think that you have a terrible marriage. What I found through a marriage counselor was my marriage is far better after almost 25 years than it could have been at any time in the past. So I actually think the fact that I needed help with my marriage, recognized it, my wife recognized it, was a good thing. And I think it's the same for marketing or any other part of the business operations that someone's not good at. So, for instance, I have a tax person who does my taxes because I'm not an expert on taxes. There's no way. And for me to go down that road and spend that time and effort on taxes is costly, and it takes up time that I can be focused on what I do well. And I think that's what I try to get across to business owners. Focus on what you do well and bring in an expert from the outside. And I have, you know, I can't speak for all marketing folks, but I have affordable rates that are designed to make it not too painful for someone to get my assistance.
No, that's huge. And like I was saying a minute ago, you know, a lot of us really need that help, because a lot of us either think that, like you said, we don't need marketing, or that our marketing is fine, and we're not realizing that there's a reason why Coca-Cola, even though it's been around all that time, still has marketing and advertising on a regular basis. And as a small business owner, most people need to put in a whole lot more effort into it. Maybe not the same amount of money, but they need to hire a professional so they get the most bang for their buck.
And it's got to be carefully calculated. And one of the things I work on with my clients is providing them with the marketing expertise that they need that match up to what they're interested in, what they're good at, but most importantly, what their ideal customers. And in my mind, ideal customers are those people who want and need what you're selling. So when you, if someone says, my ideal customer is anyone who will spend money, if you have $50 in your pocket, you're my ideal customer, I would tell you you're just plain wrong. Your ideal customer is that sweet spot, that group of people that when you look over the last year or two of who your clients are, who your customers are, they fit into that envelope. Maybe it's all women. Maybe it's all men between the age of 25 and 30. Maybe it's college students. Maybe it's college students who are traveling into town and going to school on campus and live outside of the area. All those specifics or what I work with my clients to identify so that we can target the marketing to them in a successful way. So if you know who your ideal client is, I mean, really know them, like you could pick them out of a lineup. If you know them that well, you can really be effective in marketing to them. And I often tell folks that, you know, if I could put all the people interested in your product or service in one corner of the room, we have 100 people in the room, and I'm going to put all the ones interested in what you have to offer in one corner. And let's say it's 10 people. So 10 of the 100 are in that left corner, all the way in back. Where are you going to spend your time? You're going to spend it with those 10 people. Well, that's what targeted marketing, that's the effective marketing that we're striving for. If you can target that audience, you can be very specific with your message in a way that appeals to that audience in very concrete terms. It gets their emotions, and it encourages them to act because you really understand them. And more importantly, they recognize that you understand them. And that's what really we look for when we're buying a product or service, is trust. We want to trust that someone knows and understands us, me. When I buy something, I want to know someone trusts and understands my life. And so we use, by target marketing, you can convey that message very clearly.
Very cool, and that's really helpful. And I know that when we talked and talked about business, you actually went through a whole entire process to help me to actually get a better grasp on what my strengths were, what areas were basically synonymous with my personality, and reaching that out. So I know that that was pretty huge for me.
Yes, yes. And it's important that, you know, the success of my efforts is only when I can sort of overlay what I can bring to the table on top of what the person already is interested in and good at. So I can't go to my client who's a caterer. I have a client who does barbecue, beef, and sides, and does it all around the Baltimore area. I can't go to him and say, hey, you need to become an expert in seafood. That's how you're going to make money. That's not my job. My job is to go in and work with what he has, find the audience for that product or service, and then get those people engaged through the various marketing tools available, which can be everything from the way content's written on a website. So one of the things I work with folks on is making sure that the words on the website, and more importantly, the imagery on the website, is consistent with that brand. So if you're trying to appeal to senior citizens, the photos on your website should match up to those senior citizens. People want to see themselves when they look at a website. They want to immediately take a quick pulse of the website and go, this is the place for me, this is not the place for me. And we all do this all the time. We also do this when we walk into a store. There's a store near my house that I used to shop at frequently, and they just changed their brand around, and they appeal to a much younger audience. I walked in and immediately turned around and walked out because it didn't feel right to me anymore. Now, that was a company, I would say a third of my clothes are from that company, but now I'm not going to go back there because that brand isn't consistent with what I'm looking for. I didn't feel comfortable. The music wasn't right. The imagery wasn't right. It was really dark. It wasn't what I wanted. And people make these assessments. They assess us as individuals. They assess our companies. They assess your business card, the way you dress, the way you look, the way you act, the jokes you tell, the way you carry yourself all day long. We all do it. We're all looking to put people in categories as quickly as possible. So one of the things you've got to do when you're building a brand for your company is make sure it matches up to the employees, the owner, and anyone else who's involved in that. So I work with my clients sometimes on making sure that brand's consistent. You know, if you're a doctor at a hospital, you're probably going to wear a lab coat or be dressed up. Now, if you are the person who's collecting trash in the basement of the hospital, you're probably not going to be dressed up. And each of those brands is consistent with what we would expect from that situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense because it's funny. I met a gentleman that had been a doctor for like 50 years and he retired. And we were actually talking one day and he was explaining to me how when he was a doctor and practicing, they never wore their stethoscopes around their neck. He said they always kept them in their pocket. And he couldn't figure out why all of a sudden it's become this thing for doctors to wear stethoscopes, just a kind of an off-color thing. But you're right, because Coca-Cola tried to do that when they tried to come out with, no, what was it, Coors. Coors tried to come out with a water. And because Coors was synonymous with beer, their water failed.
Exactly.
And a bunch of other larger companies have done the same thing. They've tried to add to their brand, so to speak, and they had established brands. And those added things failed because they were already known for one thing and one thing only.
Which gets at an area that I try to work with my clients on, and it's sort of self-serving, and I guess I can admit that. I probably shouldn't, but I will. One of the first places I look when I engage a new client in work is on their efforts to market to their existing clients or their previous clients. Often we overlook the people that we've worked with before, who know us, who appreciate us, who understand us, who value what we have to offer. Instead, we're all looking for new leads and new business. I often find great success with my clients by re-engaging their former customers or their existing customers in new ways, with new products, with new services. So the research is pretty clear. It takes about 20 times more time and money to find a new client or customer than it takes to expand your relationship with an existing client or customer. So if you think about it, it just makes good sense to try to find new ways to help the people you've helped before.
Yeah, that's huge. I try to push the same thing to people, but most people don't get it. They're so trying to find that new client, not realizing that they haven't actually efficiently serviced the clients that they have.
Correct. Or they think that everyone says how much business do you have, how many people do you need? And it's always great to say, oh, I picked up 4 new clients last week, I picked up 10 new customers last month or whatever. But I will tell you this, for my business, I would like 5 to 10 really good clients because I can get in there, really get to know them and work with them. And if I had 5 or 10 really good clients, I don't need to go out and dig up a whole lot of new clients that, you know, you go through the whole pricing game and you go through the proposal game and all that stuff. You have no guarantee, and all that effort goes into it, and you don't have a return on that investment often because they don't know you. They don't trust you. Whereas my existing clients, your existing customers know you. They know what you offer. They know you're good at what you do, if you are good at what you do, which really means sticking to your core competencies, doing what you do well, and sticking to it, finding new ways to provide products or services based on that approach, that thing that you do. So if you're, you know, I do marketing for small business. If IBM or Apple calls me today and says, hey, we want to hire you to do our marketing, it's not going to work. I know that. It's silly. And I get offers every now and then from people who are interested in what I have to offer, but they're not my ideal client or customer. And I've got to consider the audience. And you asked me to come up with some tips. And one of the tips I wanted to talk to you about was consider the audience. Marketing really is all about considering the audience at every turn. And what I often tell people I do for them is I'm sort of the consumer advocate for a business. When a business is thinking of doing something, I'm the one who has to sort of bridge the gap between the customer they don't want to talk to about it and the company. And often I have to wear the hat of the customer and say, that doesn't feel right. I think I understand your customers. They're not looking for that. That's not how they would say it. And one of the things I work with my clients on often is how they say things. We often like to speak in our speak, the speak that we are very comfortable with as the owner of a business, as an employee of a business, but it's not how our customers speak. So I'll give you the most extreme example, which is if I were selling a product or service to my nieces or nephews who are teenagers, they would not like my website, biggerpiestrategies.com. It doesn't appeal to them. It's old, it's stodgy, it's mature. If I were going to appeal to them, I'd be using things like Twitter. I'd be using Instagram. I'd be approaching them that way and getting them engaged in my business that way. I'm not even sure my nieces and nephews in their teenage years would even look at a business card. It makes no sense to them. Why would they bother? So if you're trying to appeal to an audience, you've got to recognize how they approach the world, what they're looking for, and how you can access them on their terms. Lots of times I work with clients who want to access the world on their own terms, not their customers' terms, and that makes a real big difference. The other thing I sort of touched on briefly was you want to consider all the tools that are available to you. One of the great parts of my job is I have this tool shed of all these marketing things, everything from writing blogs and press releases, doing video, doing podcasts, doing radio interviews like this, doing you could do guerrilla marketing, you could do blimps, you could do TV advertising, on and on and on, plus Facebook, Twitter, and all the social media, YouTube. All those things are out there. You can't do them all. No business can succeed. No small business can succeed if they do them all. There's not enough time in the day. So you've got to pick 3, 4, or 5 that you're really going to commit to, that really resonate with your audience, and those are the ones that you really want to dig into. It's silly to create a Facebook page if you don't anticipate being able to satisfy it with content. And one of the things I work with a lot of my clients on is finding ways to repurpose content. So the blog post can also be the email posting. It can also be a paragraph or a sentence from it. It can go on Twitter or LinkedIn. And in that way, you can start to leverage content. So, for instance, this interview that we're doing right now, I will post a link to it on my website. I'll put it on my social media. I'll include it in a newsletter that I will send out next week to my customers. That's just good business, and that's one of the things I work with companies on so that they're not saying, oh, this is going to take 5 hours a day. I can work with a company and we can get in the position where they can do a lot of their marketing in maybe an hour or two a week if they're careful, if they calculate it, if they really plan it and keep up with it. And the other thing I want to say, the third tip I'll give you, Z, is that you want to keep it simple. And I know we always say that, and I go back to it all the time with my clients. It's like, okay, what's the easiest way to do this? We talk about all the ways we can do things to market for them, and it's, well, what if we did this, what if we did this? And then often the simplest way to do it is the best way. Like there's a pizza shop near my house, and he's open on Sundays during football season. And I was in there this Sunday, and I said, how's business? And he said, not so good, the word's not spreading. And I said, hey, Michael, just tell people, every time someone buys something from you for the next 10 weeks, 15 weeks, every person who buys something from you, say to them, hey, by the way, we're open on Sundays from 12 to 6. We're open every Sunday during football season from 12 to 6. He's like, well, I got to put it on Facebook. I got to do ads. No, Michael, the people you need to appeal to are right here. They're coming into your business. Talk to those people. A simple sentence, and that would be more effective. And by the way, that doesn't cost anything. That costs him a little time and a little memory, and he's got to train his employees. But he doesn't have to go out and buy ads. He doesn't have to get flyers. He doesn't have to do sticky notes. He's not doing a big, expensive campaign. He's doing something that could be incredibly effective in accomplishing his goal. And that's what I work with my clients on. I'm not one of those big marketing companies that comes in and says, pay us $10,000 today, and in a month we want $5,000 more, and we're going to have an intern from a college come in and work with you after you've met with the partner of the company for the first three meetings. It doesn't work that way with me. With my company, you deal with me, and we work on trying to get you the marketing you need as quickly as possible. And in a perfect world, I don't expect to be working with my clients for months and years. I really expect to teach them to fish for themselves, and then they can go out and do the fishing, the marketing, all they want. And when they have questions, when they need more help, they can call me up. But I want them to be able to do it. I want them to understand what the goals are. I want them to understand the process. And I want them to be able to mark the success. And that's one of the other things I really believe strongly in. There's got to be a way to capture results. If you're doing marketing without knowing what your results are, you're really not doing marketing. And nothing drives me crazier than when someone says to me, you know, they don't have money to work with me. And I'll say, well, you haven't done any marketing? No, no, no. And then they'll tell me somewhere along the way, well, I did do an ad in the local newspaper. Oh, really? What was that about? Oh, well, they did the ad for me. Oh, well, what was the call to action? I don't know. They did the ad for me. Well, how do you know if it worked? Well, I didn't get any calls. Okay, did the ad say to call? Well, it had our phone number. No, that's not good enough. A call to action is important for every form of advertising. And if you're going to put an ad in the paper, it needs to have a strong call to action, which is call this number, get a discount. Order now. Save 15% by next Friday. Those are strong calls to action. Just putting your phone number, just putting your email address doesn't get people engaged. They're not going to react to it. They only react when you literally tell them what you want them to do. So when I go back to the pizza shop example, you know, I said to him, tell people, hey, if you're watching the football games on Sunday, why don't you call and order a pizza from us, and then you don't have to cook and you can focus on the games. That's a call to action. Plus, it's explaining it in a way that's good for the customer. That's what often I find my clients don't do really well. They talk about what it means for them. But ultimately, we buy based on what's good for us. I don't take money out of my wallet unless I see a value. The more you can help me to see value in what you're offering me, the more successful you're going to be. So you really have to turn the whole marketing around and really look at what your customer really wants from you. What is it you do for them? It's not about paying your mortgage. It's not about buying a new car. It's not about being able to go away for 2 weeks in the summer. That's not what your customers want, need, or desire from you. They desire to feel better about themselves. They want a solution to a problem. They want a fix to something that's gone wrong in their life, and you've got to access that. So, for instance, my company, what I do, I help companies that are struggling with their marketing to find ways to be successful with marketing. So if I were talking to someone like you, Z, I would say to you, you know, hey, Z, I know you've spent some effort on marketing, and it doesn't sound like it's worked really well for you. What I can do is I can come in and teach you some ways that can make you more successful. It's not going to cost you a whole lot of money, but your return could be thousands. Who knows how much money, how much it could save you going forward. It could be a huge step in advancing your business dramatically for whatever it costs you to work with me. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense. And I want to thank Alan from Business Negotiators One, him and Herb. You guys are listening. I really appreciate it. They also have a show on Blog Talk. And also LA Living. LA Living says, perhaps an example of cross-branding is like the beverage business. There are many on the market, and we see each flavor as different companies. But few know that major brand companies are supplying are suppliers of the mini flavors. That was from Living CA Living. So thank you for your comment. I'm taking that as a comment. And again, ladies and gentlemen,
we could do a whole show, Z, just on cross marketing. You know, that's a whole nother animal all its own, and one of the things I've worked really well with some clients on is actually doing some cross marketing. It can be incredibly effective. So if you want to put that on your list of shows in the future if you ever get bored one day.
Roger that. But if anyone would like to call in, the number is 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471. And you're welcome to Alan, Business Networkers. Again, these are people that are coming through on the chat. That's where I'm getting these questions from. Give us your information on how somebody can get in touch with you?
Yes, of course. The website is biggerpiestrategies.com. So it's biggerpiestrategies.com, biggerpiestrategies. I think I forgot the pie part. You get Bigger Pie Strategies. And the email is bob@biggerpiestrategies. And a phone number is 410-497-7030. And if someone wants to contact me and tell me they heard me on this show, I'm happy to do a free evaluation for them of their existing marketing. I'll tell you, that's not just me looking at it and saying you need this, you need that. You know, Z, that our first meeting, I gave you some nice feedback that's probably more than worth the cost of the visit, which is goose egg. So if someone wants to take advantage of that, I'm always more than willing to talk to them about their marketing, give them a little bit of free advice, and see where we go from there.
Roger that. Well, I know we've got a couple of, at least from what I can see, a couple of business owners, clearly, at least in the chat room. So I think that would be huge. So, guys, take advantage of that. You know how you say, nobody gives anything away. So when somebody does, it's definitely a treat. All right, give us some more of the pitfalls that people do when they're looking at their marketing and their branding.
Well, I think one of the big pitfalls that people go through is the I expect it to work immediately. So it's funny. I've done a lot of website projects for bigger companies and really small companies. And every time we get near the point where we're going to launch the website, the owner will always say to me something like, you know, hey, this is going to launch tomorrow. Should I make sure we have extra staff on hand because it's going to be such a big deal? And the reality is a website launch usually doesn't drive a whole lot of traffic that first day. It builds over time. And most marketing is that way. It's one of the frustrating things about what I do. It's not immediate feedback. It's not immediate response. And if you're looking for immediate response, if you're looking for an immediate feedback, you're going to get frustrated. And I think a lot of business owners expect immediate results, and when they don't get them, they abandon the marketing that they're doing. And, you know, we've all seen Facebook pages for companies that haven't been updated in months and months. We've all seen websites that are 2 or 3 or 4 years old. This is a real sign to people that a business is not up to speed, not up to date. And that does more damage to a company than all the positive marketing that we can do. So there's some really simple things that companies can do. Giving their employees business cards. I have a shirt on right now with the logo of my company on it. I'm going to a networking thing after we finish. The logo on my shirt is a way for people to say, oh, what's Bigger Pie Strategies, to open that door. I have three of these shirts. I wear these shirts on the weekends. I wore it to a family party the other day, and I had two people ask me about my business. Again, that's not a real expensive approach to marketing. Wearing a shirt with your logo on it, the shirts were $30-$40. The logo cost another $10, I think. That's a real effective way to get the word out. Having business cards and being prepared with those, having an up-to-date website is good. Also, talking to people, this is one of the real pitfalls, talking to people in your world, in your real close world, about what you really do. So, for instance, I explained to my wife about a year ago exactly what my company was trying to do. And now when we go to parties and people meet my wife, they say, oh, what do you do? Oh, is that your husband? Yes. What does he do? And she explains to him exactly what I do. And I get people walking up to me saying, your wife says you do marketing for small businesses. I have a small business. I'd love to talk to you. That's what I'm talking about. That's perfect marketing. And it's not like I make my wife say things. I just tell her what I'm up to, how it can be best presented, and who it helps. And often we don't talk to the people around us in real clear terms about what we're trying to do and why we're passionate about what we do. We assume that our family and our friends, our close friends, understand what we're doing, but the reality is they have no way of knowing it unless we tell them.
It's very true. It's very true. And you're
I've
right.
left you speechless, haven't I?
Yep, that's very true. And most of us just miss the ball. We don't realize that everybody, especially everybody that likes us, is technically a referral funnel. They may not be a referral, but there's someone that could give us a referral, but we need to let them know. It's not a secret. You're in business to make money and succeed, right?
Well, and I would also tell you, Z, I don't like to talk to people about how I want to make money. I talk to people about how I help people, how I help small businesses. Yes, I want to make money. That's understood. But I really talk to people about helping, and I try to provide the value, and I think you probably have seen that from me, before we're transacting money. I want to show people that I am legit, that I'm serious, that I'm committed to what I do, and that you want to come along with me, that you want to work with me. I've shared what I do. It's funny. I've worked with some people. I've helped a sister-in-law of mine with a website project. It's taken us about 2.5 years for a variety of reasons, but she has become one of the best referral sources for me in the world. Not because she understood what I was doing from a this is what I do, but she actually has lived it. And sometimes I've helped people and not even charged them because I know that they're actually going to be a great referral source for me, and I want to get that word out. Referrals are so valuable in business, and all the marketing in the world, all the ads you can run, go out and get a blimp over the football stadium and all that, I'll take a referral any day of the week because the referral is already queued up. All it's yours to lose. With new business, you're at square one. But with the referral, the person is just waiting for what they've been told to be confirmed, and then they're going to sign on the dotted line. So I work with companies as well on how to encourage those referrals, how they can talk about themselves in ways that get people thinking about them as a possible resource. And I think that's the way I like to look at what I do. I'm a resource to small businesses. I'm not trying to take advantage of small businesses. I'm not trying to, you know, compromise small businesses. I want to really be a resource. I want to help people because it's funny. People who die, we never really talk when someone dies about how much money they made. We talk about the things they did in the world to change the world, to make the world a better place in most cases. If you're doing what's good for your company and helping people, the money will take care of itself. The helping people leads to the money. And the less we worry about money and the less the less we worry about all that, it always seems to work out. And I know I've sort of gone afield of marketing, but from a philosophical standpoint, having the right attitude about business can be really powerful marketing in and of itself. So I spent 45 minutes on the phone with this guy and it didn't generate any business for me. That's not a discussion I like to have or hear with people. I like the discussion, wow, I spent 45 minutes with a guy today and I really helped him with his problem and he understands me and my company a lot better than he ever could have. And that's a good thing for today. The money will follow. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. Well, again, we want to thank you for all the time that you gave us. Today, ladies and gentlemen, again, we got the pleasure to talk with Mr. Bob Graham and we talked about common small business marketing and branding mistakes, and we talked about a few other things. And we're also going to do an additional show with Bob on Thursday, and we're going to talk more about marketing, more about branding, and more about actually websites and how you can use your website to help to build your brand and the things that you need to know about that, which is also another area that Bob is definitely an expert in. So with that said, Bob, one more time, let's give your contact information, and is there any other things that you'd like to tell our listeners before we close today?
So many things, but I'm just going to leave it at the contact information. The name is Bob Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M. The website is Bigger Pie Strategies, and that's the name of my company. It's biggerpiestrategies.com. You can email me at bob@biggerpiestrategies.com, and you can call me at 410-497-7030. And again, Z, I'm putting out there, if someone listens to this and tell me they listen to it, I'm happy to give them a free evaluation of their marketing. We can talk by phone about their marketing, and we can see about some things. I'll give them some ideas. I always give free ideas. My goal with any phone call with someone about their business, I'm going to give them three things to think about or to improve their business right then and there. There's no charge for that. If we go from there and there's a value in us working together, we can certainly explore that. But I'm not going to hold someone to the fire and say you have to pay me for those ideas that we get in that discussion. And part of why I do that is I like to talk to business owners. I learn from them as much as they learn from me.
Outstanding. And we'll also update the page. So, ladies and gentlemen, Bob's contact information will also be at the bottom of the web show page. So you can go there, too, to get that information if you didn't hear anything clearly or if there was some type of a miscommunication in the verbal transaction of us sharing. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for giving me your time, your patience, and, of course, all of that phenomenal experience that you have. Your ability to share is a great thing.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I really do, Z.
Well, we get to talk again on Thursday, so the treat's not over. I get to have more Bob time.
Excellent.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. If you like the Zurian Show, in the upper left-hand corner, you can click like and you can follow us or click the follow button, and you can hear more of our shows. We're constantly growing. And again, our whole job is to bring you good and useful information. If you find the information useful or you know someone else that can use it, please share it with those people because, again, our goal is actually to help each and every one of you because we all need a helping hand every now and then. Again, thank you again to Mr. Bob Graham, sorry about that, of Bigger Pie Strategies for all the information that he shared with us today on helping small businesses with their marketing and branding. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying take care, be well, and everybody have a great life, and we wish you much success. Farewell.